You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. It's titled, God's Warning Signs for Today. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Build an ark. These are the words people often use whenever there is a very heavy rain or a flood. Of course, the words build an ark are usually used in a joking way. However, if the morals of our culture keep spiraling downward, and if we as a nation continue to thumb our noses at God and His Ten Commandments, then we may be crying out, "Remember the days of Noah and the Ark," not in a joking or a humorous way, but in the way that Jesus used them, as a sign of the coming judgment of the end of the world and the reappearing of Christ. Now, whatever you and I may think about the disintegrating conditions of our society, it was Jesus who said, "Just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man." They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were being given in marriage until that day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Jesus said, "It will be the same way on that day when the Son of Man is revealed." Just before the end of the world, there will be great violence, immorality, and even mockery of God and religion. Now, if Jesus Christ, during His busy ministry, took time out to point out and to warn people that seriously eroding moral conditions are a sign of the end, then it is certainly a signal for all of us to take time out and to listen closely to the biblical account of Noah and the ark, and to see this historical event not as a myth, but as a crucial event of history, relevant to our lives of 1998 and to the future of our present society. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis chapter 6, we read that in the days of Noah, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. That's what the Bible says. In Noah's day, the intent of man's heart was continuously evil. And you don't have to be very smart to see that also today, at least in some areas of society, violence and evil is not occasional, but it continues on and on and on. For example, look at gambling. Only a few years ago, gambling was considered a sin, but now it is absolutely incredible to hear that large gambling establishments are called family entertainment. Imagine that. And we say this even though we know that all types of gambling, including the lottery, is repugnant and repulsive to our Lord. Oh, let's remember, before it is too late, that when God saw the wickedness of man in Noah's day, He was grieved in His heart. "I am sorry," He said, "that I have made man. Now I will blot him out from the face of the earth." Can you imagine? Can you imagine anything so terrifying that God would decide to blot you out in 1998? Now, in Noah's day, we also remember the mercy of God and the love of God. There was, the Bible explains, one man named Noah who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God said to Noah, "Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence, and so I am bringing a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh and everything that is on the earth." Then God said to Noah, "I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives." Noah found favor in God's eyes not because of his own righteousness, something he had done. Noah was saved because he believed in God. God's gift of faith to Noah was also what made Noah righteous in God's sight. It was not what Noah had done, but what God had so graciously done. As you and I look at the violence and the unbridled sin swirling around us today, we need also to remember that God is a God of love and mercy. Those who turn from the wickedness of our day, those who seek to know God and Jesus Christ, will be saved. Oh, my friend, know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Him in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to judge or to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. Now, regarding the flood in Noah's day, what is important about the story for us in 1998 is this. The blotting out of man and beast was triggered not by God's flippant or happenstance decision. No, this entire horrifying tragedy of the Great Flood was caused by disintegrating moral and spiritual conditions of Noah's day. It was triggered by man's unbelief and rebellion toward God. And so in 1998, we dare not forget this. Jesus said that just before His reappearing and the final judgment, conditions will become similar to those in Noah's day. Today, many people claim to be religious, but still many will follow their own religious feelings and they will not look to Jesus alone for their salvation. Now, what is also interesting today is this. As we evaluate the moral and spiritual condition of our culture, we immediately see that it is not just Christian clergymen and other religious leaders who are crying out, but now secular social experts. Yes, secular experts have joined the chorus of increasing concern and alarm. There are, of course, always those who say, "Well, don't worry, things aren't all that bad." If you, my friend, are tempted to believe this, then listen first to the Apostle Peter as he writes. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking. Where is the promise of Christ coming, they will say, and they will jeer and say, everything continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. But then Peter states clearly that these mockers, these fools, when they maintain this, it escapes their notice. That by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and by water through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. And so then, if you think that there is no concern about our current eroding social conditions, you are mistaken, because God Himself is concerned. Let me now read several brief sections of the Wall Street Journal, reprinted prominently and boldly in the New York Times. The article states, "We have no good advice on how our country might extricate itself anytime soon from a swamp of sexual confusion, a confusion that now causes teenage girls to bear their babies in toilets and in motel rooms before tossing them into the dumpster." Then the author of the Wall Street Journal editorial points out, "The biggest mistake is that architects of the new sexual politics never seem to be able to identify any act or any practice that they consider simply wrong. The new sexual arbiters have failed us," they say. "The sexual landscape is indeed value-free, which is to say it will forbid or condemn no sinful act." Little wonder, then, that so many of us, from military generals to kids in school, are completely confused. Finally, this editorial points out, "Our society today is littered with the bodies of old-fashioned ministers, priests, and rabbis, all who have been ordered to get out of the way and to shut up. They've been ordered by a tank army of modern intellectuals, politicians, and media types. Even many modern clergymen have abandoned the saving of souls in favor of running foreign policy and welfare." Oh, it is a serious situation when secular institutions like the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal have to sound the alarm because these spiritual leaders, called by God, simply refuse to do so. It is also the solemn responsibility of all clergy to powerfully proclaim and to clearly emphasize not only God's message of judgment, but also His good news of love and forgiveness. God promises mercy to all who turn from their ways and to all who seek Him through His appointed intercessor, Jesus Christ. It is the Apostle Peter who puts all things into perspective for us in 1998. By connecting Noah and the flood to Jesus, Peter gives you and me hope, even in an era when everything else seems to be going from bad to worse. For Christ, the Apostle Peter writes, also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that He, Jesus, might bring us to God. And after Jesus died on the cross, Peter explains that Jesus went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, in which a few, that is, only 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Then Peter explains, corresponding to this salvation act of God, of saving Noah in the water and the life-giving power of God's Word in baptism also now saves you, not by removing dirt from the flesh, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the good news, my friend, for you, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 3. And now is also the time for all of us to open our eyes and to see the dangerously eroding state of our society. It is also time for you and me to hear clearly Christ's words of comparison of the conditions today with those which prevailed before and also caused the flood. And it is also time for us to permit the Word of God to open our hearts to hear the good news of His saving gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, in Jesus, shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, Jesus Christ did not come into the world to condemn you, but to save you. And no matter how violent and full of sin the world appears today, your first concern is not to evaluate and then to complain about the conditions of society. God wants you to look first at your own life. Have you been reading God's Word regularly and daily? Have you been speaking to the Lord in prayer every day, as He so graciously invites you to? Have you been looking around you at family members and neighbors and putting their needs before your own, as God would like you to? God, you see, is most pleased if we, before we condemn others and the world, if we would simply look at ourselves and say with the psalmist, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of Thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only, O Lord, I have sinned and done what is evil in Thy sight. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from Thy presence, and do not take Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of Thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." You and I, my friend, need to do everything possible to help make our world a God-pleasing place in which to live. But in order to do this, we need to first examine our own lives and express our sincere repentance to God for our sins, and then to receive the forgiveness and the new life and the strength that He wants to give us in Jesus Christ. And so then, even though our secular experts agree that the foundation of our society has been greatly damaged and eroded, my friend, do not give up. Just as God saved Noah and his family by the water in the flood, you and your family can also be saved through the life-giving power of baptism. This is God's wonderful promise to you. You can read about it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and following. Yes, there is hope for you and your family in God. Believe His good news and live, both in this life and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.